In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well beloved spouse. Spirit Sanctifier, here I implore you, I pray you again. May your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may love it, and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, today we will continue with our reading of the Book of Heaven and other passages regarding the Holy Spirit. So I just want to continue building on what we have been talking about on last session, that passage from volume 17, May 4, 1925, that will become or is one of our passages as a foundation passage about the Holy Spirit. And of course, we are building upon also that passage on volume 29, that our Lord tells us that everything we do now has to be for the coming of the kingdom to descend upon earth. That everything we do now, we have to have in mind that the glory of God and the coming of the kingdom. One of the things that we have to remember is that the second part, the coming of the kingdom, is basically what the intention that is missing in so many of the sacrifices of the saints. They all sacrificed for the love of God. They all did their ministry or wherever God call them to do out of love for him. But what is missing in them is the desire to offer those acts for the kingdom to come. And it's not of their fault, because they didn't have the knowledge of this gift. Many of them, of course, they didn't possess this gift, because this gift, the how to unite ourselves with the will of God and how to pray intentionally for this gift to descend, is given to Luisa Picaretta, we can say, in its fullness. So that's her mission. Her mission is to be the little daughter of the divine will, meaning that everything she does now, it is not only to love God, but for the kingdom to descend. And now we are going to build upon that passage that should be familiar now for all of us. And the second passage that is becoming, or is going to be our foundation also, building on that, is this other passage, May 4, 1925, in which our Lord tells Luisa Picaretta that the Holy Spirit will make this play of his love, the love of God, manifesting. He is talking to Luisa Picaretta, but is the knowledge for all of us, manifesting to all of us the secrets, the prodigies of the divine will, the goods it contains, to make happy those who will give themselves to know how much good this supreme will contains. So now we have the intention. When I said that we are going to build upon these passages, we have the intention. We know now that it is to love God for the kingdom to descend. And then now we know what is expected of all of us, basically to give ourselves to the knowledge of this gift, basically to meditate upon these writings and to read them, asking the Holy Spirit to give us light, to give us understanding. So What the Lord wants us is that we may give ourselves to knowing this gift and all everything that it contains. And it says to love it and to let it reign in their midst, offering their souls to let it dwell within their hearts. So when we say, Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, may your kingdom come and rest upon our souls, upon my soul. This is what the Lord is telling us. To reign in our midst, offering their souls to let it dwell within their hearts, that it may be able to form its life in them. Right? And that will, once we have this gift operating in us, then the Lord says it will form the bond of inseparability that the Blessed Mother possess also with the Blessed Trinity. So this bond of inseparability that Adam and Eve possessed was lost. It was lost, but now through these writings is being restored, is being given to us. And what do we have to do? To give ourselves to the knowledge of this gift. So this is what we are trying to do. And the Holy Spirit is the one who is going to make the display. So let's stay with that passage. And then now I would like to go also to the book of the Blessed Mother. Let's see what the Blessed Mother is telling us about the Holy Spirit, referring to the Holy Spirit, because it is important to know also that all of this is connected with the teaching of the church, and we have to see also the role of the Blessed Mother in this project, we can say, in this work of the Blessed Trinity in disseminating basically in the knowledge of the divine will. And how the Blessed Mother, it is through the maternal hands of the Blessed Mother that, and through the work of the Holy Spirit, that this gift is given to us, the gift of coming to know the divine will. So I would like to invite Linda to begin reading lesson 30 of the Blessed Virgin Mary in the Kingdom of the Divine Will. This is what the Blessed Mother says about the Holy Spirit. Let us listen.
Passage from Day 30 from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom of the Divine Will. Now you must know that as my Son departed for heaven, I continued to be together with the apostles in the cenacle, awaiting the Holy Spirit. All were close around me, and we prayed together. They did not do anything without my counsel. And when I took the word to instruct them and tell them some anecdote about my son that they did not know, as, for example, the particularities of his birth, his infantile tears, his loving traits, the incidents which happened in Egypt, the so many marvels of the hidden life in Nazareth, oh, how attentive they were in listening to me. They were enraptured in hearing the so many surprises, the so many teachings that he gave me that must serve for them. Because my son spoke little or nothing of himself with the apostles, reserving to me the duty of making known to them how much he had loved them and the particularities that only his mother knew. So, my child, I was in the midst of my apostles more than the day's sun, and I was the anchor, the rudder, the bark, where they found refuge to be safe and defended from every danger. Therefore, I can say I gave birth to the church upon my maternal knees, and my arms were the bark in which I guided it to safe port and guide it even now. And so, the time arrived for the descent of the Holy Spirit into the cenacle promised by my son. What transformation, my child! As they were invested, they acquired new science, invincible strength, ardent love. A new life flowed in them, which made them fearless and courageous in such a manner that they went their separate ways in all the world to make known the redemption and offer their lives for their master. I stayed with beloved John and was constrained to go out from Jerusalem because the storm of persecution had begun.
Okay, so we see that the Blessed Mother remains with the apostles, and the promise of the Holy Spirit that is given to the disciples and then that is fulfilled in Pentecost, the promise of the Holy Spirit, so that it is now the work of the Holy Spirit to bring to fulfillment basically, the Our Fathers, the promise that is contained in the Our Fathers. Our Lord Jesus, he has completed the mission of redemption, and now it belongs to the third person of the Blessed Trinity to complete the sanctification, to complete the work of basically creation in each one of us. And as we read in volume 17, in order for the Holy Spirit to fulfill that in each one of us, we must give now ourselves to the knowledge of this gift. And later on, in the last passage of that lesson that the Blessed Mother is telling us, she says, "Oh, how happy I will be in being able to say, 'My child is all mine,' because she lives from divine will." And then this is the promise that the Blessed Mother makes. "And I will make the Holy Spirit descend into your soul, that he may burn away from you all that is human, and by his refreshing breath, he may rule over you and confirm you in the divine will." So it is through the Holy Spirit then that this gift is been given to all of us. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to prepare also our souls, and the Blessed Mother is the instrument also, because the Blessed Mother, in previous classes we have talked about this, and the maternity of the Blessed Mother towards us is to bestow upon us the gift that she possessed, so that the children may be equal to the mothers. And the maternity of Blessed Mother towards God consists in basically giving to God what belongs to Him. So, in fulfilling this gift in us, the Blessed Mother is also fulfilling her own maternity towards us, and it is through the Holy Spirit. And if you see, the Blessed Mother says, "I will make the Holy Spirit descend." How? Through her prayers, through her intercession. What she did for the disciples, she will do for us. What she did for the disciples, she will do for us. Let's now go to sacred scripture to illustrate this a little bit, because the promise of the Holy Spirit is given in the Gospel of John 16, 12, 15. This is what our Lord Jesus tells his disciples. And let's see how it connects with the gift of the divine will. The Lord says to the disciples, "I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of truth comes," he says, "he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And then the Lord says, all that the Father has is mine, therefore I say to you, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So what are these things that the disciples cannot understand, they cannot bear now? It is the gift of the divine will, because in order for them to understand this gift, first they have to understand who Jesus is and to understand the whole work of redemption. They were waiting for the Messiah, and they believe now that they have spent time with our Lord Jesus. They now believe that he is the Messiah, that he is the one that is promised in Isaiah. And he himself tells them when he goes to the synagogue and he reads the book of Isaiah, and he says, today this passage is being fulfilled in your hearing. And of course, we know what they tried to do. They tried to kill him. He had to escape, basically, because it was not his time yet. But when he announces the kingdom of heaven, he says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, repent. And then he gives us all the parables that we have been hearing about the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. And then what is hidden in the Our Father is the kingdom, the fulfillment. And we have been praying for this, and we pray and pray, and sometimes we don't even know what we are praying for, because we are so used to pray only out of a habit. But now is the time that this gift that is contained in the Our Father, now we are able to understand it. So imagine what the disciples were not able to understand. Now it is the time that our Lord Jesus, through the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, and it is the work of the Holy Spirit now, that is bringing about all this. And what we have to do now on our part? Very simple. To give ourselves to the knowledge of the divine will. To give ourselves to the knowledge of the divine will, having in mind that we are one step ahead, basically, spiritually, in comparison with the saints, in the sense that we now know that it's not only for the glory of God, as Saint Ignatius of Loyola, he wanted to do everything for the glory of God. But there is something that is missing. What is missing now is for the kingdom to descend. So yes, we want to do everything for the glory of God, but we have to look at our fathers and to read that petition, thy kingdom come. So every breath I take, every movement, every act, with all of that, I love you, God. I love you, O Blessed Trinity. And I beg you also at the same time, with that single act, to let the kingdom descend. And I give myself to you, Holy Spirit, to the knowledge. Give me understanding. Expand my wisdom, my knowledge, my soul, so I may be able to enter more deeper into the sea and the knowledge of the divine will, to penetrate basically the divine truths that are contained there, that what the disciples were not able to understand, now through the action of the Holy Spirit that was promised to the disciples, and that it was fulfilled in Pentecost, now he may continue to do the same in us, to bring about this gift, the kingdom, the gift that was lost through the fall. Now, I would like to go to the catechism to see also what the church tells us or how all this is connected, because in the creed, every Sunday we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified. This should be something that should bring our attention now that we know the gift of divine will, that together with the Father and the Son, also the Holy Spirit wants to be adored, wants to be glorified. And the Holy Spirit wants to be glorified also in a very specific way. The Lord will tell us later, we are going to go and see one of the passages in the Book of Heaven, how the Holy Spirit wants to be glorified also, but specifically. But first of all, let's go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church in 683. It says the following: No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. God has sent the Holy Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. This happens in baptism. We know that the Holy Spirit is being put into our hearts. And with Him, the whole Blessed Trinity is. Because remember, there is the bond of inseparability that they possess, one will. And once we enter into that bond of inseparability, then we are one with God. In the sense that one will operates in us. And then the creature, the soul, is totally open to receive all that God has and continue and wants to give to the creatures. This knowledge of faith is possible only in the Holy Spirit. To be in touch with Christ, we must first have been touched by the Holy Spirit. And again, this happens in baptism and continues to happen in the sacrament of confirmation, that it is the Holy Spirit who gives us this ability to even be able to say Jesus is Lord. He comes to meet us and kindles faith in us by virtue of our baptism, the first sacrament of the faith. The Holy Spirit in the Church communicates to us intimately and personally the life that originates in the Father and is offered to us in the Son Jesus. Then the Catechism continues and it says, Baptism gives us the grace of new birth in God, the Father, through His Son, in the Holy Spirit. For those who bear God's Spirit are led to the Word, that is, the Son. And the Son presents them to the Father. And the Father confers incorruptibility on them. And it is impossible to see God's Son without the Holy Spirit. And so no one can approach the Father without the Son. For the knowledge of the Father is the Son, and the knowledge of God's Son is obtained through the Holy Spirit. So the fact that we are able to come and to approach Christ, it is already the work of the Holy Spirit. The fact that we have the faith given to us in baptism, it is a sign that the Holy Spirit is acting, but in us, but the Holy Spirit wants to be totally free to act in each one of us through our intellect also. So we remember Saint Paul tells us that he tells us he uses the word metanoia, meaning change the way of thinking. So here we come to the first conversion that in spirituality we read that needs to happen. The intellectual conversion, the conversion of the mind, to change the way we think. And now if we connect this with the gift of the divine will to change the way we think, that when we pray, of everything we do, the first purpose is to glorify God and to ask for the kingdom. Healing comes no second, but even third. But in focusing in that, in glorifying God and seeking the kingdom to descend, we find also everything we need. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and everything will be given on to you. So here we have the secret, we could say the secret of how to possess everything. But for this, we need to change the way we think, the conversion of the mind. The conversion of the mind has to happen first, and then the moral conversion, which St. Paul also talks about, leaving behind all kinds of immorality, he says. So once the conversion of the mind happens, then the second conversion, we can say, is the moral conversion. In order for us to arrive at the conversion of the heart. Then in that, we can say in that third conversion or that third step of conversion, then we are able to really understand and to do everything out for love of God. And now for the kingdom to descend and really believe that passage of Sacred Scripture that tells us seek first the kingdom of God and to have that trust that if we seek first to adore and to glorify the third divine persons, excuse me, the three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that they want to be adored and glorified together, but also individually. And that it is the Holy Spirit acting in us. Then we will be able to really advance in giving ourselves to the knowledge of the divine will, and the Holy Spirit will do his work. He will display all the work that God wants to do in each one of us. Through this grace, the Holy Spirit is the first to awaken faith in us and to communicate to us the new life, which is to know the Father and the one who he has sent, Jesus. But the Holy Spirit is the last of the persons of the Holy Trinity to be revealed. We know this because after Jesus himself, he came, he took on flesh, then he promised the Holy Spirit, and it is the Holy Spirit, the last of the third three persons, who is to be revealed. And we can say this is the time of the Holy Spirit now. We can say that from the moment of incarnation till resurrection, that's the time of redemption. And now from the moment also, because it's the Holy Spirit who raises Jesus from the dead, but when the Holy Spirit descends upon the apostles in Pentecost, from then we are living in the time of the Holy Spirit. And all of this, the work that the Holy Spirit is doing is preparing what the Holy Spirit has done with all the saints. What the Holy Spirit has given to the apostles, courage, strength, boldness to be able to suffer martyrdom, to give their lives for the faith, is the work of the Holy Spirit doing everything for what? For this gift now to be accepted, so that the church as a whole may come to know and to understand this gift and the members of the church, which is all the baptized, may come and receive this gift. So you see, the Holy Spirit is so active, almost desperate, working and working and working, preparing the souls. That's why it's so important. The sacrament of baptism is so important, because then the Holy Spirit is able to do the work that he has been given to do. In the same way that our Lord Jesus had his mission, the Holy Spirit has his mission, and he wants to accomplish it in each one of us, so that one day may be able to say it in us, everything is complete in you. So Saint Gregory of Nyssinus, the church tells us, which is a theologian, explains the progression in terms concerning the Holy Spirit. This is important to understand, because even though the Holy Spirit is present in the work of creation. It is the Father who is acting, who is directing the work. Even though the Holy Spirit is present in the work of redemption, it is the Holy Spirit also present there, but it is the second person who is directing the work. The Old Testament proclaimed the Father clearly, but the Son more obscurely. The New Testament revealed the Son and gave us a glimpse of the divinity of the Spirit. Now the Spirit dwells among us and grants us a clear vision of Himself. And it says, it was not prudent when the divinity of the Father had not yet been confessed to proclaim the Son openly, and when the divinity of the Son was not yet admitted, to add the Holy Spirit as an extra burden to speak somewhat darkly, but advancing and progressing from glory to glory. The light of the Trinity will shine in ever more brilliant rays. So it is the work of the Holy Spirit. This gift is active in all of us because it's completing in all of us what God the Father, from the beginning, from the moment of creation, He had designed for all of us. And again, that it was lost through the fall of Adam and Eve. Now, I would like to go to another passage that refers about this prayer in the Our Father that I think is important to know now that we know and we are trying to connect this and see clearly that it is the work of the Holy Spirit acting in all of us. I would like to go to read a portion of a passage that is, let me see. It is, let's go to, first of all, let's go to May 4, 1925. I'm just going to read some portions there that I think is important for us to visit, and then from there we will move on to our last section. The part that I want to read is this one. Excuse me, let me see which one I gave you. 17. No, excuse me, let's, that's the last one that I want to see. We are going to go to volume 19. Volume 19, September 13, 1926. And this is what I want to share with you. It says, my daughter, my supreme being possesses perfect balance in giving to creatures my grace, my gifts, and especially this gift, the kingdom of the supreme fiat, which is the greatest gift that I had already given to man at the beginning of creation, and which he rejected with such ingratitude. And then he says, does it seem a small thing to you to place a divine will at his disposal, together with all the good it contains? Not for 1 hour or 1 day, but for his entire life. For the Creator to place his adorable will within the creature so as to place in common his likeness, his beauty, his infinite seas of richness, joys, and endless happiness. Only by possessing our will will the creature acquire the rights of communion, likeness, and all the goods of his Creator. Without it, there can be no communion with us. And if the creature takes anything, It is merely our little blossoms and the crumbs of our interminable goods. Now, with a gift so great, a happiness so immense, and the right of divine likeness acquired through the nobility of being our children, do you think it will be so easy for the divine sovereignty to give this kingdom of the supreme fiat to creatures without being prayed to, without anyone even giving thought to receive it? We know that the Blessed Mother, through her prayers, she completed what the prophets and all the righteous men and women in the Old Testament were asking for. But her prayers were the prayers that finally make that gift descend, the gift of the Redeemer. Now, in the same way that the prophets, they pray in the Old Testament, and all the righteous men and women, they contribute for the coming of the Messiah through her prayers and sufferings and so many sacrifices. Now, the saints, the martyrs of the past, before Luisa Picaretta, they also contribute for this kingdom to descend, the very prayers of the Blessed Mother. But now it is finally through the knowledge and understanding of this gift that this gift descends upon us, and it is through all our actions, our prayers, our sufferings, and everything offered for the kingdom to come, seeking the kingdom to descend, that will finally make all these prayers descend and be complete, the fulfillment of our fathers. So we have to pray, and the way we pray is by offering ourselves, everything we do, now with the knowledge that it is the Holy Spirit that is guiding us. The Lord says, what will happen, that will happen to repeat what happened in the terrestrial Eden, and perhaps even worse. And then our justice will rightly oppose it. Therefore, everything I have you do, your continuous rounds in the supreme will, your incessant prayers, and my will, that my will may come to reign, your little sacrifices, your sacrifices for so many years, knowing neither heaven nor earth, and directed solely toward the coming of the kingdom. These are so many supports that I place before my justice. Notice that she already loves God, and she wants to do everything for the love of God, and she is focused, and our Lord Jesus is focused on this for the coming of the kingdom. That all these prayers and sacrifices, are as so many supports that I place before my justice, so that it may yield its rights, and balancing itself with all our attributes, may find it just that the kingdom of the supreme fiat be restored to the human generations. The same happened in redemption. If our justice had not found the prayers, the sighs, the tears, and the penances of the patriarchs, the prophets, and all the people of the Old Testament, and then a virgin queen who possessed our will intact and who took everything to the heart with so many insistent prayers, taking upon herself the entire task of satisfying for the whole human race, our justice will never have yielded to the descent of the long Redeemer into the midst of creatures. I'm going to skip a paragraph, and then the Lord says, now, until now, who until now has ever prayed with such interest and insistence, placing the sacrifice of his own life into it, so that the kingdom of the supreme fiat might come upon earth and triumph and dominate? And he answers, no one. Then he goes and says, it is true that the church has recited the Our Father ever since I came upon earth. Which one asked, your kingdom come, so that my will may be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the Lord says, but who thinks about the meaning of such a request when they make it? He acknowledges that we are praying, the whole church is praying for this, but he wants us to be aware of what we are asking so that we, in that way, we may give ourselves and fulfill what he is telling us. That we may give ourselves to the knowledge of this gift and to, we can say, the practicing of this gift. Then the Lord says, one could say that the whole importance of these requests remaining in my will, while creatures recite it merely to recite it without understanding and without any real interest in obtaining what they ask for. So here we have to be now intentional, basically, to live God's will in the present moment. To live God's will in the present moment through the grace of the Holy Spirit, through the assistance of the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to live in the will of God in the present moment? Very simple. To offer everything you go through in the present moment. And to accept that somehow that's the will of God. And instead of rejecting that, of fighting it, we may do what St. Paul tells us to do, to love God. To love God. Our task is to give ourselves now to the Holy Spirit, to the knowledge of this gift, to become the instruments through which this gift will descend. When St. Paul says that everything works for the good of those who love God, if you stop and think about that phrase, in reality he's saying that it doesn't matter what you go through, you just keep loving God. And somehow he will make it right to all of us. Instead of complaining, why me? You just keep loving God. And then that present moment becomes your prayer. You are living the will of God in the present moment. Not only with your acts, but now you see is now the changing of the mind. We could say the conversion of the intellect, of the mind. So it may descend and it will be manifested in our behavior, which is the moral conversion. And by moving towards these two steps, then it will descend into the conversion of the heart. Now, I do everything for the love of God and for the kingdom to descend. And then I am able to say, like St. Paul, who can separate me from living the will of God in the present moment? Hunger, persecution, sickness, illness, nothing. Because now I am aware that I am a continuous, right? As we can say, a continuous bell that is ringing, calling for the will of God to descend. And that no matter what happened, that present moment becomes a way for me to be sanctified and a way for me to love God and a way for me to ask for the kingdom. So the more the enemy attacks us, now you, once you enter into this way of living, then you will see that it will be wealth even for the enemy to leave us alone, because he will not, once you enter into this really this understanding, he will have to flee, because by you living in this way, he will be contributing for the kingdom to descend, and this will he will never do. But it's a process, and this we have to understand and to acknowledge the work of the Holy Spirit and to be now intentional every time that we pray to our Father. The Lord says many they pray, but they do it out of a habit, right? We don't really understand what we are praying. But now we know through the writings of the servant of God, Luis Enrique Carreta. Then the Lord touches upon what we just read in the Gospel, also in John. He says, therefore, my daughter, everything is hidden in secret. While one lives upon earth, and so everything seems mysterious. And if something is known, it is so little that man always has something to say about all that I accomplish in my words through the veils of the creatures. They even go so far as to say, and why was this good? Why were these knowledges were not given before when there were so many saints? Perhaps you have heard this also. When we first introduced this gift to the people, they don't want to believe. They are skeptical. Why? Why Luisa Picarreta? Well, because the Lord wanted. She was the one that the Lord chose. It could have been Teresa of Lisieux, it could have been other saints, but he chose Luisa Picaretta. In a sense, all of them, they prepared the way for her. So is the Holy Spirit acting in all of them? It continues to work. Is the Holy Spirit directing all of us? Even as we read these writings, because he gives us the knowledge, understanding, the willingness even to accept this gift. So everything is great, graced. But in eternity, there will be no secrets. I will reveal everything. I make all my words and deeds sing with justice, showing that my majesty could never have given them unless there had been sufficient acts in the creature to enable me to give what the Supreme Majesty wants to give. It is true that everything the creature does is my grace. But my grace itself wants to find the support, the dispositions, and the good of the creatures. Therefore, in order to restore the kingdom of my will upon earth, sufficient acts of the creature are needed, so that my kingdom may not remain suspended in the earth, but may descend and be formed upon those very acts of the creatures formed by her in order to obtain so great a good. This is why I urge you so much to go around through all our works, creation and redemption, in order to place in them your share of acts, your I love you, your adorations, and your gratitude upon all our works. So we do all this that we are used to do, and we have learned to do the rounds of creation, redemption, and sanctification with the purpose of glorifying God, adoring Him in gratitude and adoration, and glorifying also the Holy Spirit now, intentionally acknowledging. That's why it's so important to develop a deep devotion to the Holy Spirit. The Catechism teaches, as we read, that even for us to be able to say Jesus is Lord, it is the grace of the Holy Spirit. So through our Lord, we come to know the Father, but it is through the Holy Spirit that we come to know our Lord. That's what the Church tells us. And then this is the prayer that Luisa says. This is many. Then this Luisa says after the Lord talks to us. Supreme Majesty, your little daughter comes before you upon your paternal need to ask you for your fiat, your kingdom, that it may be known by all. I ask you for the triumph of your will, that it may dominate and reign over everyone. And then she says, I am not alone in asking you, but your works are together with me. So it's with the voice of all the works of creation. And your will is in me. Therefore, in the name of all, I ask you, I implore you for your fiat. So we become that bridge now. And this is a way to exercise the graces of our baptism that we all share in the common priesthood, meaning that we become a bridge between God and others to come to love God, to know Him, and now to offer ourselves to Him. So the Holy Spirit also wants to be glorified. The Holy Spirit wants to be glorified individually. Let me read this passage that comes from volume 17, May 17, 1925. It's the same passage that the Lord gives us, from which we have our prayer at the beginning of every session. This, just to give you a little background about this passage, we know that the confessor asked Luisa Picarreta to explain what she was doing when she was fusing herself in the divine will. So Luisa Picarreta explains a little bit in the previous passage, May 10, 1925. The confessor is not happy, so he asks her to write more. And then she writes more, and then she explains the work of creation and redemption. And now at the end, this is what the Lord says concerning also the Holy Spirit. So let me read this paragraph in which Luisa Picarreta talks about fusing. Fusing myself in the supreme volition is like a springing fount for me. And every little thing I hear or see, one offense given to my Jesus, is an occasion for me for new ways and new fusions in His most holy will. Now I continue by saying that my sweet Jesus told me. So let me back up a little bit. So every time that Luisa Picarreta sees that there is an offense done to our Lord Jesus, she does the opposite. If he's offended, she will love Jesus with his own love, with the love of the Father. My daughter, to what you have said, confusing yourself in my will, another appeal must be added. That confusing yourself in the order of grace, in everything that the sanctifier, the Holy Spirit, has done and will do for those who are to be sanctified. This is very important. More so, since while we, the three divine persons, are always united in operating, if the creation points to the Father and redemption to the Son, the fiat voluntas tua will point to the Holy Spirit. And it is precisely in the fiat voluntas tua that the divine Spirit will make display of his work. Again, we hear this. You do it on coming before the Supreme Majesty, and you say, I come to requite you in love for everything that the sanctifier does for those who are to be sanctified. So basically, thanking God, thanking God the Father, thanking the Holy Spirit, thanking the Blessed Trinity for everything that the Holy Spirit has done in the sacraments, in the past, everything that the Holy Spirit continues to do in the church, in the sacrament, and even will do in those who begin the life of grace through baptism. So you do it when, on coming before the Supreme Majesty, you say, I come basically to correspond, to thank you, to adore you. In love for everything that the Sanctifier does for those who are to be sanctified, I come to enter into the order of grace so as to be able to give you the glory and the correspondence of love as if all had made themselves saints, and to repair you for all the oppositions and the lack of correspondence to grace. And as much as you can, you search within our will for the acts of grace of the Holy Sanctifier, so as to make his sorrow your own. This is very important, because he's now is telling us that the Holy Spirit, right, by being rejected by for the lack of correspondence, he says that the Holy Spirit even experienced sorrow. And as much as you can, you search within our will for the acts of grace of the Holy Sanctifier, of the Spirit Sanctifier, so as to make his sorrow your own, making the sorrow of the Holy Spirit our own, as well as his secret moans, his anguishing sights in the depths of the hearts, in seeing himself so unwelcome. And since the first act he does is to bring our will as the complete act of their sanctification. So the Holy Spirit, the first time that the Holy Spirit descends into our hearts is in baptism. So he's telling us that this gift of giving us the gift of the divine will is implanted in us in baptism. Look at what he says. And since the first act he does, referring to the Holy Spirit, is to bring our will as the complete act of their sanctification, the first time that the Holy Spirit descends in our hearts is in baptism. So if we were to keep this gift and grow in the knowledge and understanding of the graces of our baptisms, basically, our baptism, we will remain in this gift. But because we don't have the complete knowledge, and then also because we have the concupiscence, which is the tendency to sin, we need to keep asking the Holy Spirit to preserve in us the graces of our baptism, to allow him to do in us and to welcome him in our hearts at every moment. So every time we immerse ourselves in the divine will, every act we do with that awareness to give ourselves to the Lord in the simple acts that we do, then we are welcoming the Holy Spirit to continue his work in us. And since the first act he does is to bring our will as the complete act of their sanctification, in seeing himself rejected, he moans with inexpressible moans. And you, in your childlike simplicity, say to him. So now the Lord tells you, Sapicareta, as a childlike, in your simplicity, pray to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit Sanctifier, here I implore you, I pray you again. May your will not, is the prayer that we always pray at the beginning. So if you see the progression here, we are called to offer perfect acts. In order for those acts to be perfect, of course, we have to be in the state of grace. trying to be in the state of grace as much as possible. The constant awareness that we want to glorify God. And here we encounter the spirituality of the Ignatian spirituality to glorify God in everything. Then the mandate of our Lord Jesus to seek the kingdom of heaven first, to offer all that we do, then to love God and for the kingdom to descend. Now this the progression, giving ourselves to the knowledge of the gift of the divine will, so that the Holy Spirit will display all the acts, all that the Blessed Trinity has for us, that the Holy Spirit may be able to manifest all the secrets that the gospel talks about. Our Lord Himself tells the disciples, you cannot understand them now, but the Holy Spirit will guide you. So now what the Lord is telling us, in order for you to receive these secrets, these prodigies that the divine will contains, you must give yourselves to the knowledge of this divine science, and then to begin praising, adoring, glorifying God in the order of grace through the sacraments, directly corresponding, acknowledging the work of the Holy Spirit in those who are sanctified through baptism and the sacraments, who have been, who are, and who will be, thanking the Holy Spirit for all the graces that He is giving to all the church, all the baptized, and that He will continue to do. Putting our I love you in every single soul that is baptized. Putting our I love you in every sacrament that is administered. To put our I love you in every rejection that the Holy Spirit receives, in every offense. To love Him with His own love. To love the Holy Spirit with the love of the Father. To love the Holy Spirit with the love of the Son and with His own being. To place our I love you in every sacrament. In every sacrament. And now to search deeper and deeper in our hearts. This is what the Lord says. And as much as you can, you search within our will for the acts of grace of the Holy Spirit, the sanctifiers. To also to go back within our hearts and our souls also to thank the Holy Spirit even from the moment of conception. To praise, to adore, to glorify the Holy Spirit with every breath since the moment we were conceived. To offer those now even to the Holy Spirit to console Him and to love Him in every sacrament we have received, and for those sacraments that we have received unworthily, then to ask forgiveness. And of course, now, as Bishop Picarreta, to go around and to beg the Holy Spirit and to make this prayer our own prayer, begging the Holy Spirit, the Spirit sanctifier, I hear you, I implore you, I pray you again, may your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may love it and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. This is the first thing that the Holy Spirit deposits in our hearts in baptism. Through sin, we lost it, but then through the sacraments, He's given us again this grace back. And now through the knowledge and understanding of the gift of the divine will, He continues to act and He will continue to this place where in our souls, all that God has for us. So let us ask the Blessed Mother to really fulfill that promise that she gives in the lesson that we read at the beginning, is lesson 30 of the Blessed Mother. Let us beg the Blessed Mother that She will make the Holy Spirit descend into our hearts, into our souls, that the Holy Spirit may burn away from each one of us all that is human, all that is of the human will, and by the refreshing breath of the Holy Spirit, may the divine will descend in our hearts, be confirmed, each one of us be confirmed in the knowledge, understanding, and then the possession of the will of God for the praise and glory of His name, for the gift to descend for our own sanctification. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon each one of you and remain with you forever. Amen.